Heavenly Father, what a wonderful week this has been. A week to celebrate the resurrection of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. What a week it must have been for the apostles. The joy of knowing that he lives again. And then Thomas having the opportunity to see and to touch our Savior. Lord, may your Holy Spirit touch us in the same way today, that we, without a shadow of a doubt, would know that Jesus is not only Lord, but he is alive, and he wants us to live with him. It is in the precious name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. I'm sure you've heard the old saying, seeing is believing, but I think believing is truly seeing. This should remind us of Jesus' own words, "Blessed are they who did not see and yet believed." Hearts are changed through belief, through faith. Today we find the apostles hiding from the temple leadership in the upper room out of fear. These are really not the same apostles who followed Jesus around for 3 years, and they're most certainly not who they would become on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit would bless and empower them beyond their wildest beliefs. Scripture tells us that the doors to the upper room were shut for fear of the Jews. The apostles, who had run the other way from Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane when he was arrested, were still in hiding. And they were terrified, in spite of the fact that they knew that Jesus had risen from the dead. It would not be until the Holy Spirit was given to them that they would boldly begin to profess their faith, no matter what the situation or the threats that would be facing them. All around the world today, there are Christians who are gathering to worship the risen Jesus, just as we're doing this morning, and studying the Word of God, along with other believers. Some are gathering in secret, however, in hiding, because it's unsafe or it might even be illegal to be a Christian in the land that they live. People like you and me are jailed, tortured, beheaded, and far worse, simply because you love Jesus Christ. We've been witness to that in the news when ISIS and others will take Christians out into a field and have their way with them. Marilyn and I personally have made the decision to intentionally be praying for persecuted Christians around the world. All of us need to be in prayer for them and to celebrate the courage and strength that the Lord has given them throughout this ordeal. While we celebrate the fact that early Christians in the church grew rapidly, many of us don't really stop to think about the persecution that took place during the early church. And this gospel reading takes us to a time that is just 2 weeks after the crucifixion of Jesus. Those who were persecuted were sure of their faith in Jesus, or they would not be willing to stand up for him. The apostles were overjoyed that they had seen the risen Lord, but not so much that they were getting up and leaving that upper room. That was their stronghold. That was their safety net. They strongly believed, and that included Thomas, but Thomas was jealous that he was not there when Jesus visited the others. Can you just imagine what that might have been like? That last Sunday, we had a special visitor. And then y'all came in today and we said, "Guess what? You missed him." You'd be feeling sort of like Thomas, I would think. Because Thomas asked for the absolute empirical proof, I think he's gotten a bad rap. He's been labeled as Doubting Thomas. I'd like to take a closer look at today's Holy Scripture, the reading from the Gospel of John that we read just moments ago. Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." He gave them his shalom, his peace. After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. The disciples apparently really didn't receive shalom or peace from Jesus' initial greeting, because they didn't rejoice until after he proved who he was. And then he gave it to them again. It could very well have been because the door was locked. And with Jesus suddenly appearing inside that room, they might have been stunned and afraid until Jesus showed them his wounds. When they recognized him in that locked upper room, their joy became so great that it could not be contained. They had received the joy that Jesus had promised them back in John 16:22 when he told them he was speaking of his impending death. He said, "I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take that joy from you." I want to suggest to you that this joy was not only because of what they saw, but it also came from what Jesus had to say to them. He had just given these disciples their marching orders. He had just, if you will, commissioned them. They received their call to ministry. Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." They received the power to forgive sins. Jesus told them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. And if you retain the sins of any, they are retained." Not only had the disciples seen the risen Lord, received their call to ministry and the power to forgive sins, but they themselves received new life in the Holy Spirit, breathed upon them by their beloved Master. Can you just imagine? They must have been ecstatic. They must have been nothing short of giddy. And they must have been so excited. And I think that's putting it mildly. But one of them wasn't there. That's Thomas. Thomas comes back through that locked door and gets met by the door by his brothers. "We've seen the Lord." They go on. "He was here and he gave us the Holy Spirit and the power to forgive sins." I tell you what, Thomas had my deepest sympathy. Can you imagine just missing out on that? How many of us can relate to Thomas at this point? The rush of emotions that must have been coming over him. Excitement, then disappointment. Sadness, then concern. We're talking about a roller coaster ride here. Disbelief or doubt. And it wasn't until 8 days later, on the following week, Jesus came back to that same locked upper room and said, "Peace be with you. Shalom." Thomas is there this time. And Jesus knows exactly what Thomas needs in order to fully accept that he is risen. Jesus goes right to Thomas. He doesn't waste any time. He goes right to Thomas and directly addresses him. "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." As I said, Jesus goes right to addressing each one of Thomas's concerns, his disappointment, his disbelief, and most pointedly, his doubt. Thomas doesn't even have to touch Jesus. And Thomas's reaction, my friends, is like no one else ever reacted before in all of Scripture. It's one of wonder. It's one of awe, of humility and amazement. He says, "My Lord and my God." I can just picture in my mind's eye Thomas dropping to his knees, bowing before our Lord, pretty much falling on his face and saying, "My Lord and my God." We are truly blessed with these words. The words that were given here. A very special insight by the Apostle John in this gospel. He was there. He was in the upper room. This is an eyewitness account that we're getting. Thomas proclaims Jesus as my Lord and my God. Here near the end of John's gospel, we hear the only disciple to actually announce Jesus as God. Others has declared him as the Son of God. Others had called him the Messiah. And Jesus himself spoke as being the Son of Man. But John brings us full circle with his gospel. Right from the very first words of John 1:1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." The faith of Thomas steps right up to the plate. Well, it is baseball season. He steps right up to the plate and clarifies beyond question the identity of Jesus. And he does it for all generations that will follow him. His faith proclaims Christ, the risen Savior, that he is God incarnate, God made man, God, the living Word, my Lord and my God. After Jesus speaks of Thomas's belief in having seen the risen Lord, Jesus then speaks of other believers and their faith. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe. My brothers and sisters in Christ, here it gets personal. Jesus is talking to each one of us. He's talking to each one of you. Blessed are we. Blessed are we who believe, even though we have not seen. Jesus is telling us, believing is seeing. It's been almost 2,000 years since Jesus was born in Bethlehem, walked upon this earth, took on our sins, and then suffered and died on the cross, and triumphantly rose again from the grave and appeared to Thomas and the rest of the disciples in that locked upper room. And yet Jesus' words come to us today, personally meant each one of us here, to hear, to feel, as remarkable encouragement for our faith. For our faith as believers in Jesus Christ as Lord and God. How wonderful it would have been to have been there, don't you think? When Jesus walked the earth. But let me ask you this, would it really have been great? What would we have done if we stood at the way of the cross as Jesus carried his cross? Would we have boldly jumped in and tried to help like Simon of Cyrene? Or would we have hidden our face like the disciples? It would have been wonderful to have seen Jesus talk in his ministry, to have seen him personally heal person after person who sought mercy, to have him touch us like he touched Thomas and the other disciples, to have personally seen him or to possibly have touched his robe or even just the hem of his garment. But we weren't there. We can read about it. We can sing about it as we did this morning and will do throughout the service. We can dream about it. We can hear about it in church. And yet here our Lord Jesus calls us blessed. We are indeed blessed. Having not been there, having not seen him, we believe in the one who died for us. We have faith in Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus the Messiah, Jesus Christ, whose resurrection we celebrated in such an awesome way last Sunday, right here in this place, on Easter Sunday. And we celebrate that today and every Sunday. We believe that one day we will share in the joy of his resurrection, and we will indeed see Jesus face to face. And we can see ourselves why Thomas boldly spoke, "My Lord and my God." Believing is seeing. We can see him when we read and meditate on the complete story of God's hand in salvation history of humanity, found in God's written word, the Holy Scriptures. We can see him when we freely worship in a place like this today, like we're doing. We can see him when we repent of our sins and know that because of what he did for us, we are truly forgiven because he died in our place. We can see him when we receive his body and blood this morning in the Holy Eucharist, feeding in our hearts by faith with thanksgiving. In the Holy Eucharist, we get to feel and experience Jesus personally in complete and total freedom. And we can show him to others by spreading the good news of Jesus Christ to our friends, our neighbors, our family. We can live the words of the Apostle Peter, who wrote in his first letter, chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, "Though you have not seen him, you love him. And though you do not see him now, but believe in him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, obtaining as the outcome of your faith the salvation of your souls." You see, today's gospel message is about believing in the resurrected Jesus Christ and sharing his love with others. John reminds us in his words given at the end of today's Holy Gospel, so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing, you may have life in his name. Believing is seeing. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.